Praise God. If you have your Bibles, would you turn in the Old Covenant to the book of Numbers? An unusual place to find this message, a place that a lot of people don't go and spend time. There's an important message here in the life of Israel and their relationship with their covenant God. We are spiritual Israel today, and our God is still a covenant God. The New Testament is in covenant language. If you don't understand the covenants, you won't understand the Bible, because it's divided into two portions: the Old Testament, which is rendered covenant, and the New Testament, which is rendered covenant. Amen. God is a covenant. We have a blood covenant because of what Jesus did at the cross. God's promises are based on His covenant with His people. Praise God. In fact, we are Abraham's seed, who He made the covenant with. Amen. And the Bible said that we that are of the household of faith, whether you be Jew or Gentile, amen, we that are of the household of faith, that means we who have come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, been brought into His kingdom, and become part of God's royal family. We, Jew and Gentile, that have received Christ as our Savior and therefore are called the household of faith, we are Abraham's seed, whether you're a Jew or not, by faith. And the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon you. Can you say amen? This is the word of God. It's okay to say amen. It's not a trick question. You may not have the faith to take a hold of it, but that don't mean it ain't there for you. Can you say amen? This is one of those, well, they're all over the place. I call them tis or taint scriptures. It's true or it isn't. If it's true, we ought to begin to stretch our faith out to get a hold of it. If it's not true, then you need to tear that page out of the Bible and throw it in the garbage can. I wouldn't suggest you do that. That's some serious stuff. But you can do it by sitting here and rejecting what the Word of God is clear about. I want to see God's people in a place of security, in a place of safety. Amen. That God can demonstrate, in a place of blessing, so that God can demonstrate, He can juxtapose His people, His covenant people, over against the people of the world, and let the whole world see that there is a distinct difference in people that serve God and people that do not. And you don't do it by their checkbook or the house they live in or the car they drive or the watch they wear. You do it by whether or not their prayers are answered and God comes through and God delivers and God keeps and God grants a peace that the world just don't have. Amen. God gives a joy. God gives a satisfaction when you know Christ is your Savior and you decide to follow Him. So we have an enemy to all of these blessings and all of this security and all of this testimony that we could have. We have an enemy. And Paul said one of the ways that we defeat this enemy is because we're not ignorant of his devices. One of the things that we need to defeat any enemy militarily, and now it comes over into the spiritual realm, we need good intelligence. We need to know what he's up to. We need to know what his plans are. We need to know where the attack is going to come from, where he's gathering his forces. Listen to this very carefully today. Amen. No, the Bible said the armor of God is to qualify us to stand, enable us, empower us to stand against the power of the devil. No, this is not a power thing. This is not power. If it was, there'd be no contest. Amen? You know what Jesus said about the devil when God decided that he has sinned and he can no longer live in heaven? Jesus said, I was right there when it happened. I saw it occur. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I beheld Satan. You ever seen a bolt of lightning? He said, as a bolt of lightning, he fell from heaven. That quick. There wasn't no push-pull, big war that lasted for however long. God said, that's it. Satan fell from heaven. It wasn't even a 1-2 punch. Come on, it wasn't a right and a left or a right and an uppercut. There was no exchange of blows. Woo! And when Jesus said this, he said it in the context of the 70 he sent out, anointed of God to cast out devils. And when they found out that the name of Jesus held that kind of authority and released that kind of a power through that authority, they came back rejoicing that demons were subject to them. They thought, we're something very powerful. And he said, no, no, no. You are fighting a defeated foe in the name of the one that defeated him. He said, so the first thing he said to them, I beheld Satan and his lightning fall from heaven. In other words, his defeat is no big deal for God. Amen? So let's don't magnify the devil today. Let's magnify the Lord. In fact, let's put the devil in his place under our feet. Thou shalt tread on serpents. Can you? Not only are you going to lay hands on the sick, you're going to tread on serpents, you're going to cast out devils. I've told you the story before, but it's so beautiful to me. Amen. When I used to preach on a WSOL radio station years ago, Foundations for Faith, way back a long, long time ago. And the lady had a flu that she couldn't kick. They gave her antibiotics. She was dehydrating. The doctor was pondering putting her in the hospital because they tried everything short of giving her IVs in a hospital. And it was not getting any better. And said she got up one morning and she had the choice, go to work or go to the hospital. She had taken the antibiotics. Nothing was changing. The fever had not given up. She was, well, I don't want to go into, you know what happens to dehydrate you. You know, you get a fever and you get other things. Stay near a bathroom. Let's put it that way. Amen. And so she said, do I go to work or do I go to the hospital? Well, you need to go to the hospital if you need to go to the hospital. But this day, the Lord just dropped something in her heart. And she said, you know, I can go to the hospital from work if I need to. So I'm going to go to work. And she said, I sat down because a scripture just, sometimes God will drop a scripture in your heart to boost your faith. Scripture dropped in her heart. Of course, she was listening to a preacher too. Every day. 5 days a week. Foundations for Faith. We taught stuff like this. We taught there is victory in Jesus. God still answers prayer. The name of Jesus still holds authority. And the scripture dropped in her heart. And it was, thou shalt tread on serpents. Thou shalt tread on serpents. And another scripture dropped into her heart about that. It's having to do with your where you stand in relation to your enemy. And she recognized this was more than just a physical problem, that the enemy really was through this physical problem coming against her and her faith. So she said, you know, I don't have any problem. I have good insurance. I have no problem. I believe doctor's knowledge come from the Lord, every good and perfect gift. She said, but this was a personal victory that God wanted to give me and show me that I could stand on His word and I could have victory and my faith could reach out to Him and that God could still come through even in this modern, postmodern world. And she said, you know, the Bible said God hath highly exalted Him. It dropped in her heart and given, you know, and seated Him. And we've been seated with Him in Ephesians in heavenly realms or heavenly places. And God has put all things under His feet. That means under His absolute, undeniable, unquestionable authority. You ever seen the cartoon where the devil's sitting on one side of somebody's shoulder and angels sitting on the other? And the devil says, do this wrong thing. The angel says, don't you do it. And the devil says, do it. And the angel says, don't you do it. Amen. And after a while, the angel and the devil get in a fight. And they're wrestling this way. And then they're wrestling that way. That's not how it is. That's not how it is. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. It's when you decide to follow God that the power of God wins in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus. So if we're the body of Christ, she said, and everything is under His feet, then it's under our feet. And she took her shoe off took a Marxalot. Now, this is not some doctrine I'm telling you. This was her personal way of getting a particular victory that she needed. She said, I not only needed healing of this thing, I needed to use my faith. I needed to see God do something for me in accordance with His Word, so that my faith, my confidence would rise up again. We can get so sufficient, self-sufficient, that the only time we really get out our faith is when the doctor shakes his head and the bank says we're bankrupt and the car breaks down and we have this big issue that only God can solve. And then, since all else has failed, then we kind of, well, let me see if God has anything, if I could get God to do something for me. But only as a last resort, after all else fails. God is not a last resort God. Can you say amen? One of the hardest prayers for me to pray, and I have been in that circumstance, and I have prayed for people that I did not believe God was going to help them. You know why I didn't believe God was going to help them? Because they had absolutely no faith in Him. He was a last resort God. I prayed for a man that God delivered that was supposed to die in the hospital. God raised him up, sent him home, let him live several more years. And there was a guy next to him. And I said, I always ask, would you like prayer? What are you facing? He told me. And I said, would you like me to pray for you? He said, go ahead. It couldn't hurt. I thought it couldn't hurt, but it ain't going to help you either. But I'm going to pray. Lord bless this man. I knew in my heart. As your faith be, so be it unto you. And if you believe God is some kind of just by word, and whether they that come to God, this is imperative, Sean. They that come to God. You got to do business with God, and He has imperatives and requirements. Amen. They that come to God must, everybody say imperative. Imperative. They must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's not, it couldn't hurt. That's not how faith responds. Faith says, pray. Pray. I'm believing God. I'm coming in agreement with you. Can you say amen? Jesus would answer no prayer except a prayer of faith. Amen. People would come to Jesus with a need, and the first thing He would ask them, a blind man, Bartimaeus, he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. They told him to hush. You know the story. Jesus said, bring that man to me. That man that is crying out, that man that is making me his source, that man believes that I'm going to do something for him. He's blind. He can't see me. He can hear the throngs of people and the crowd getting louder. He's heard what Jesus has done for others. And he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they bring blind Bartimaeus to Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want? Now, what a question, huh? He's blind. What does he think he wants? And he said, Lord, that I might see. And Jesus answers so many people in the same way. Do you believe that I am able to do this thing? At the pool of Bethesda, wilt thou be made whole? I want to do something for you. But the ball's in your park right now. Can you say, Matt? They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. That's why you need to sometime get off of the stuff that tears you down. Get into the stuff that builds you up. Hallelujah. You need something of faith. I know. I told my wife on the way in, I've seen so much on TV, on the news. I get so irritated. I get so angry. I get so upset at it all. And I wouldn't be human if I didn't. But I'm not going to come in here. And when you need faith to believe God and receive from God, and you need instruction from the Lord, and preach what bugged me this week. I'm going to preach what God wants you to hear today. God loves you. He wants to keep you in safety and security. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you victory over the enemy. Praise God. Hallelujah. She said, I wrote on the bottom of my shoe a message to the devil since he's under our feet. I wrote him a message with a Marks-a-Lot, Brother Venable. Now, this is, you know, this is a station manager of WSOL, but she's spirit-filled station manager. She believes the word of God. When God quickened his word to her, she wrote it on the bottom of her shoe. She said, I'm going to work. There's a message for the devil, and it said, devil, you are defeated. You are under my feet, and I am healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you could do the same thing if God didn't drop it in your heart and your faith hasn't risen to that level, and you wouldn't get the same results. But God spoke to her heart. I'm praying at some point you can hear God speaking to your heart, that he'll drop something in your heart that you will stand up on and declare in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The disciples, the apostles said, we have believed, therefore have we spoken. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you something today. His word in your mouth. His word in your mouth. His word, not your. His word in your mouth is no less authoritative than his word in his mouth, because it's his word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's his word. She said, Brother Venable, I went to work. And when I got to work, when I walked in the door and sat down at my desk, the fever broke. I started sweating. She said, the rest of the day, as the day wore on, I got better and better and better. She said, and when I left work, she said, when I got home to my front door, she said, I went like this. Hallelujah. Victory is a wonderful thing. Can you say amen? Victory is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read from Numbers today. The Bible said, we are not ignorant of his devices. When Paul said that, it wasn't a blanket statement. It was in relation to forgiving others. Satan gets you into unforgiveness. God can't legitimately bless you. Do you understand spiritual law? You understand that God watches over his word to perform it, not just the good stuff, but all the other stuff. All of it. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. One preacher said one time, if you're not willing to forgive, you better never, ever, ever mess up. Well, I'm into mercy and forgiveness. I don't live messed up, but I have been known to mess up. Oh, don't look at me like, oh, Brother Venable, what did you do? None of your beeswax. Can you say amen? You say, Brother Venable, I don't ever mess up. You just lied, and that's a big mess up right there. Can you say amen? Come on. If a man says, listen, we're not to live in habitual sin. We're Christians. We have victory in Jesus. But if a man say, I have no sin, the Bible said he lies and does not the truth. I heard the story. It was a humorous story. I may have told it before here, of a man that lived in the city. And he said, I want to get out of the stress of the city. I just want to take a drive out in the country. I just want to get out beyond all the honking horns and all of the roar and the hubbub. And he just took a weekend drive by himself out in the country. And he saw a sign that said, talking dog, $10. Talking dog, $10. And he said, it piqued my... I should know better. There's always a catch to these things. I should know better, but I just was so curious. I wanted to find out what this was. I said he drove way down a dirt road where that sign was to an old farmhouse, old shotgun shack, I guess we'd call it today. He said had a screen door on it, said old porch, and an old dog, old mangy-looking dog laying up on the porch, hardly even looked up when he come out of his car. Knocked on the screen door. Guy came to the door. Dog didn't even flinch. Just laying over there, just don't care. Amen. And he said, I couldn't help but come back here and ask you about this talking dog. Well, the man said, just a minute, let me get my shoes on, and I'll tell you the story. Well, when the man went back in to get his shoes on, the dog said, I really can't talk. The guy just, oh, Lord, did that dog just say that? He said, I'm the only talking dog in the world. And I have worked as undercover for the FBI, the CIA, and many of the agencies of the world. They used to clean me up, take me to the Russian embassy, and say, oh, I've got to run an errand. Can you watch my dog until I get back? And I would lay over in the corner and listen to everything they said. And when they'd come back to get me, I would tell them everything they said. And I finally retired, but I have been to many different countries, secretly, in a secret ceremony, in the back of the White House itself. The President of the United States awarded me the Congressional Medal of Honor for my service to America. And this guy is just dumbfounded. The guy then comes back with his shoes on. He says, sir, do you know what you've got here? This dog can talk. He's been all over the world. He's unique. And you only want $10 for him? He said, not only will I sell him for $10, if you really want him, you can have him. He said, well, why would you give away a phenomenon like this? He said, that old dog has never been off of this porch. He wants me to bring his food to him. He don't want to even get up to come in and eat. Everything he says is a lie. And even though he can talk, I'm tired of his lies. Can you say, man? I'll tell you something about the devil. Everything he says is a lie. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar. And the truth abides not in him. Amen. So spiritual armor, what do you do to this liar, this deceiver? What is the first piece of armor that a Roman soldier put on? And that was the pattern. When he got up in the morning, he didn't reach for his breastplate first. He didn't reach for his sword first. He didn't reach for his shield first. He didn't put on his shoes first. When he got up in the morning, there was the first thing he reached for was his belt, because everything hinged on that. That's number one. And what was his belt? What was his belt? The Bible said, amen, that your loins gird about with truth. With truth. That you might be able with the rest of the armor, beginning with the truth. Listen, the sword of the Spirit is the truth in the Word of God, revealed by the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness is the truth about your standing with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Great peace have they which love thy law. The shoes of peace is the truth applied to your life. Praise God. It brings and produces peace. Freedom. Sanctify them. Cleansing. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. God loved the church. Christ loved the church. Gave himself for it. That he might cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. This is God's truth. John 8:30 and 31. If you continue in my word, If you continue in my word, this is not a piecemeal thing. This is not something you take sometimes and throw out the window the next day. But if you decide to make a quality commitment to continue in his word, let his word be the lamp to your feet. Let his word be the light to thy pathway. Can you say amen? If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, that's part of walking in the light. In his truth, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus has a continual effect upon your life. It cleanses you from all iniquity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody asked me at work when I was bivocational, Pastor Venable, didn't the Bible say the truth will make you free? I said, no, it did not. No. Out of context. Jesus never just said, the truth will make you free. Then why is there so much bondage? Why is there so much defeat? Why is there so much depression? Why is there so much sin? Would you like to know what the Bible said in context? You can't pull it out. That's what the devil does with it. If you, me, continue in my word. We need some consistency. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. You can't put the lamp and the light out and expect to walk in victory. If you, so much is up to us today. God has supplied the Penelope. God has supplied the armor. God has supplied the truth. And by the way, the truth is not just scripture. The truth is a person that you commit to follow. And that's Jesus Christ. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And if you continue in the truth, you will know the truth. Everybody tap your head. And then say, not just here. It's not just what you know. It's who you know. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on. There are people that know Scripture, but they don't know Jesus. They that do know their God, it all changes. They will be strong and they will do exploits. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You continue in my word, you'll know the truth. You'll know me. You'll know my word is true. And if you apply it, hallelujah, the truth then will make you free. In that context, it'll make you free. But you can't play with it. You can't play church with it. You can't play games with it. Can you say amen? The devil wants you to think because you listen to the preacher tell you something from the Bible that you can find freedom that way. You cannot. You have not. You will not. At some point, you're going to have to get personal with God. Amen? It's going to have to get personal. Amen. After this service is over, it's not between you and me and God anymore. I'm going to deliver his message that he has supplied through his word and by his spirit. But after this service is over, it's not you and me and God anymore. It's you and God. It's you and God. You can reject me. You cannot listen to his word anymore. Amen. You can go your own way and do your own thing. But it's going to be between you and God. Come on. My responsibility will be over as soon as this service is over. Because I can't walk it for you. I can show it to you the best I can. I can tell it to you. Amen. Put on the belt of truth if you want victory. Start with truth. Don't start with faith. Don't start with faith. Start with truth. The devil is a liar. You can't overcome him with the force of your faith. It's truth. Put the truth before him. Amen. Because that disarms his greatest weapon. The Bible said, put on the belt of truth, then add every other piece. And not in the order of the Roman soldier getting up in the morning. The first thing is not the shield, it is not the sword, nor the helmet, nor the breastplate, nor the shoes. The first thing he reached for was that belt that everything was going to hinge on. It all hinges on truth. Truth revealed, and then truth applied. If you continue in my word, you won't just know the truth intellectually. By quoting scripture, you'll know it experientially. Can you say amen? You'll find out God is faithful. God is real. Jesus is real. Hallelujah. You'll find out victory is something tangible. It's not a liver shiver on Sunday morning and then under the devil's control the rest of the week. It's a life that is represented by overcoming. Hallelujah. You will know the truth. That's why I want to tell the truth on Sunday. I have a message here, and it's a good one, and I hope I can finish it, because this right here is very important. But the Holy Ghost has shifted gears. He shifted focus. He said before you give somebody the truth, you got to get them acclimated to desiring the truth and applying the truth. If you're not willing to apply it, there's no need for you to hear it. It won't help you. It's when you know it through experience and application, and you see that God's true to His Word and His Word works. Listen carefully. The enemy is a liar and the father of it. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. He deceived. He lied in the garden. He started this whole thing with a big old lie. As God said, he attacked the credibility of God's word, the integrity of God's word. Hath God said you shall not eat of every tree? Eve said no. He only said we shall not eat of that tree. Because the day we do, what did he say? You'll die. Did they drop dead physically? No. Did death enter this planet? Through their disobedience? Through one man's sin. Death came upon all men. How does that work, Brother Venable? I'm glad you asked. Spiritual law again. Romans 6:16 tells you exactly how it works. Whoever you, with a free will, yield your members, servants, to obey. The King James word servant is a weak rendering of the Greek. It's not that the King James isn't accurate, but you've got to look a little deeper than just the surface. Can you say amen? The actual word is doulos, and it means a bond slave. Amen. A bond slave. I kind of like the song. It's a pop song, but it has a truth to it. It's not written about the Bible or from a religious standpoint, but you got to serve somebody. You got to serve. You say, I don't serve nobody. I preached in jail in the Tampa system when the assistant warden came to our church. I remember in there talking about the meek inheriting the earth, and the guy shifting it to me, and the guy saying if I was meek in here, I'd be dead by morning, and all of this. And you know, you could see all the guys talking about their bravado and everything like that. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord coming, and I remember the Holy Ghost rising up in me and saying, meekness is not weakness, it is power under control. Can you say amen? And I said, here's the lie the devil has sold you. I don't listen to nobody. You know people like that. One of them may have shaved your face this morning. Not your face, because I know you don't shave. She said, yes, I do. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't go there. We all get peach fuzz, even if you got a, you know, you can get peach fuzz. And you could see everybody bristle. They like that idea. No wonder Satan could sell it to them. Nobody tells me what to do. I do what I choose to do. You got to serve somebody. You are serving somebody. You may be a doctor. You may own banks. You may even own tanks. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. you're going to have to serve somebody. Can you say amen? It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you are going to serve, and you in fact are serving somebody. Jesus said, if you're not serving me, you're of your father, the devil. And listen to this. Everybody say, serve somebody. Don't say it. Serve somebody. You're about to get it. Praise God. There's a black man in here trying to get out. I'm just in a white man's body. Listen to me. You know it's true. You don't have to go to black church to hear me preach this way. Listen. Honestly, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. It's going to be the devil. It's going to be the Lord. But you got and you are. And if you're not serving Jesus, the Bible said that the spirit that is in this world, the spirit of disobedience that is in this world, is upon everyone that doesn't belong to Christ, because you don't realize it, but you're serving Satan without becoming a Satanist. You don't have to join the Church of Satan in California. You don't have to draw a pentagram on your living room floor. You don't have to burn some kind of incense or something demonic. When you decide, amen, to choose darkness over light, you're going to serve somebody. The spirit that now worketh in what? The children of what? Disobedience. I don't want to be put in this religious box. Honey, you're in a prison. And don't have sense enough to know it. And Jesus came to set the captive free. And he does it through his truth. Supplied and applied to the life. Praise God. There's victory in Jesus. I tell you, there's victory in Jesus. But the devil is a very shrewd operator. And without applying God's truth, you and I are no match for him. This is not about getting the Holy Ghost talking in tongues and suddenly overcoming. You can talk in tongues and not apply the truth. You can have power that can't be released in any kind of authority. How many tongue-talking people do you know that have failed? Have gone back. Right back into sin and debauchery and defeat and discouragement. If you didn't hear them at some point in time, you'd never know they even knew Jesus, let alone got filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of God within you is greater than that. When you walk away from truth, you give place to the devil. When you give place to the devil, he's going to take that ground. Listen to me carefully. This is so important. You put on the spiritual armor, you begin with truth applied. Hallelujah. That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Everybody say the strategies of deceit. Strategy of deceit. If he can't deceive you, he can't defeat you. Because the truth will make you free and the truth will keep you free. But if he can deceive you, he can defeat you. And that's why Paul said, you know, what they did down there was so bad. But if you have forgiven them, we are going to forgive them. We're going to wipe the slate clean. Because the devil's trying to pull us all over into unforgiveness, to where God can't answer our prayers and bless us. And we're not ignorant. Lest Satan should gain an advantage over us. He can't defeat Christ in you. He can't defeat you in Christ. He has to do something to get you out of sync with God, to where God can't legitimately protect you and God can't legitimately, amen, answer your prayers. Amen. Listen to me carefully. If God be for us, end of the argument. Paul said, there's nothing else to say. I have nothing to add. This is the issue that is so crucial to victory or defeat. If God can be for you, who can be against you? The devil knows he can't defeat God. He can't defeat Christ in you. Can you say, man, he can't defeat you in Christ if you live it out. Listen to me carefully. But if he can get you to break spiritual law, God can't be for you. How can God be for you when he said he's going to judge what you're doing? you don't forgive men, your Father won't forgive you. The devil can lure you and me into unforgiveness. Then he says, when I cry unto the Lord, God has no obligation. There is no promise that breaks that spiritual law. The lawgiver cannot become the lawbreaker just to help you. What you need is not just God to a God that overcomes his own law in order to come through for you. You need to get in an altar and get right with him so he can bless you. Nothing wrong. I feel his good favor. I'm almost done, but I feel it. There's nothing wrong, Sean. That's why we got extra seats today. They come to visit, but they don't come to stay. No need to run out and buy chairs until people get hungry for God's truth and get serious about getting free. Can you say amen? I'm not trying to fill seats. I want to see victory in God's people. I want to see the devil defeated. I want to see God's people the head and not the tail anymore. Woo! I want to hear the joyful sound in the church of Jesus Christ. Every time you apply God's truth, you're going to have to crucify the flesh to do it. But in that crucifixion and death to self, the life of God can now come up through you. Praise God. If you continue in my word, they didn't like to hear that. They just wanted to say part of the scripture. Here's another part scripture. The devil will give you piecemeal scripture and make you think you know the Bible and you know how to live in victory. Piecemeal. Take it piecemeal. My God shall supply. Everybody says bring it on. That's a truth I can handle. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Woo! Preach on, preacher. We're going to give you 20 more minutes. Am I right? Do I have the 20? Yeah, sure. Why not? Tell me more. Tell me more. We want some more. What God going to give me next? My name Jimmy. Your name isn't Jimmy, is it? Okay, good. My name Jimmy. I want all you give me. Jimmy comes to church here sometimes, Brother Hodges' son. He always give me that look when I say my name's Jimmy, I want all you give me, because his name is Jimmy. But my God shall supply, of course. Lord, meet my need. Spiritual law is still in effect. Can't break spiritual law to meet your need. And a spiritual law has been operated in order for him to make that declaration. He didn't say it as a blanket thing out of context. He said it in context. Because you, out of your own need, have sent gifts to others that are in need. Given it. Now he can make the statement in context to what they were doing. It's not a promise to anybody. It's a promise to those people who said, when I see a need, even if it costs me, I'll do what I can to meet that need. He said, then this promise is yours. Because to give it to you without you doing that is to break spiritual law. He that sows sparingly shall what? Oh, he's going to give you bounty while you hold back? When you seest thou, brother, in a need, and you sayeth, go thy way! This is how religious we can get. We're going to pray over them. You're broke down beside the road. You don't have a dime in your pocket because you've been on vacation spending every bit at Cracker Barrel. Anyway, and now you're on your way back home and you break down by the road and I come by you on the interstate and I say, Lord, have mercy, there's one of my sheeples right there. Sheeple, that's, you know, people that are sheep. There's one of my sheeples right there. He broker than a skunk coming home from vacation. He don't have AAA. He trusts his car. He can't call AAA. He's out of gas. Car's broke down. He's broke. So I pull up beside him and say, what happened? My car broke down. I ain't got AAA and I'm broke. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's 96 in the shade. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be big. Go thy way. First thing is, get away from me. That's what it says in the scripture. Somebody in need, don't come around me. Go thy way. Be thou warmed. You know you're hungry. I make peanut butter sandwiches when we live behind the church. We kept the big jar of peanut butter. Somebody come knock on the door and say, Pastor, I hadn't eaten since yesterday. Some of them hadn't eaten. Some of them wanted money to buy drugs and drink with and cigarettes and whatever their thing was. And so I'd go make them a big fat peanut butter sandwich. Amen. Big fat peanut butter sandwich give you some protein, old hoss. Fill your belly. Amen. And I made a lot of peanut butter sandwiches. In fact, I showed loving kindness. If we had jelly, I put peanut butter and jelly on. Hallelujah. Somebody said kindness is giving a man a piece of bread when he's hungry. Loving kindness is putting peanut butter and jelly on it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So we give away a lot of peanut butter sandwiches. But I could have said, get off my porch. Oh, but let me pray for you before you go. Go thy way. Go thy way, Mike. Get away. You need something from me. Be thou warmed and be thou filled. I'm going to pray God just meet your need. I'm right here with it. I could take you to the gas station, get a gas can, take you back to the gas station and fill you up on my credit card. But right now, I got things to do. Go thy way. Be thou warmed and be thou filled. Notwithstanding, if you have it by thee, if you got it to give, and you say, I'm not going to share it with nobody. How dwelleth the love of God in you? Amen. Can't represent the kingdom. Can't represent the king. Amen. So if I don't help him and go my way, and then guess what? I'm coming back from vacation. We just stopped at Cracker Barrel on the way home. It's not what we ate. It's what my wife bought while we were there. No, she don't buy from Cracker Barrel. Hardly ever. She's a good girl. Thank God for my Walmart girl. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Come on, Brother Taylor. Give me. Come on. Hallelujah. And I break down. And I start praying. I say, Lord, send me some help. I said, what you talking about? Send you help? And then I'm going to pull the scripture on it. Lord, you said in your word. Well, stand on that word. I'm going to rebuke the devil, the devourer. I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to claim his promise in the name of Jesus. You said, my God shall supply all of your need. I'm expecting God to come through. Wait a minute. That's not all he said. It's not all he said. He said, because you have given out of your own need to help those that are in need, my God shall supply all of your need. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Can you say amen? Instead of trying to get God to break his law to bless us, why don't we let God break us? And our stubbornness and selfishness and self-will. Why don't we decide we're going to line up with God's word? Hallelujah. Amen. Then you know what to expect. Because whatsoever a man soweth, well, I'm expecting a lot of mercy, because I have all kinds of opportunities to show it. Come on, Sean. Sean, you're a prime example. Son, I don't know what kind of wrestlings you have with the devil or your flesh, but I'm so glad of what I'm hearing about your attitude. Amen. And I know the devil will keep coming, and he'll keep knocking, and he'll keep tempting. He'll keep trying to stir up anger and unforgiveness. But you have committed to line up with the Word of God, and you have to crucify your flesh daily and take up your cross to do it. But God, when God is for you, when God can legitimately be for you, when Israel was right with God, nobody could defeat them. No enemy could defeat them. No one could take them into captivity. Nothing could hurt them and harm them and destroy them. And the devil knew it. His strategy is to lie to them, to make them think, I can claim a covenant while not keeping a covenant. And that's where we are today in the Church of Jesus Christ. We want to claim promises, but we don't want to keep instructions from God. And we think we can supersede, circumvent all of these critical issues of whether God can legitimately bless us. If God can't answer your prayer, oh God in heaven, I can't afford unforgiveness. Brother Venable, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter what they did to you. What matters is what Jesus has done for you. Can you say amen at the cross? Hallelujah. Oh, get your mind off what they did to you. Get your mind on what He has done for you. Can you say amen? And say, listen, and the Bible said for His sake, if God, for Jesus' sake, we're disarming demons right now from keeping blessings from God's people by getting us turned wrong with God. If God, for Jesus' sake, whose sake? Your sake? My sake? No, because we don't deserve anything but judgment. Why did we get forgiven? For His sake. If God, for Jesus' sake, hath forgiven you, so ought. Everybody say ought. It comes from in the Latin, that word means, in the Greek, similar. Ought is a shortened form of O2. O2, ought. Are you getting it? Forgiveness is not something that you decide whether they're worthy of receiving. It's something you owe to them. Something I owe to them. Why? Because I have received the free grace that flows from His sacrifice on the cross. And I owe forgiveness to those who have wronged me, hurt me, harmed me. And I'm going to tell you the greatest thing. You really want to get your enemy's goat without, you know, being mean about it? You want something to really get them? Forgive them. Cut them loose. Say, Lord, You handle them. Vengeance is His. It ain't mine. So I abdicate that place in my life. I offer forgiveness. And you may not even feel it at first. Don't wait for a feeling. Tell Him, I forgive. And then, because that old bitterness is gone, and because the devil can't bring that up and accuse you anymore, and because God, more importantly, God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. God is on your side. Because you're applying His truth. Pull yourself, chair up to the Master's table. Look at that sumptuous meal that He set upon it. Begin to drink deeply from the living water and eat heartily of the bread of life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what they used to do in ancient times in one area of Europe, as I close? You know what they used to do? A man who had murdered, instead of just hanging him, instead of just cutting his head off, all these terrible ways of punishment, you know what they did? They took the corpse of the man he killed. They chained the corpse to his back and locked the chains. And they knew the penalty for a blacksmith or anyone trying to break that chain would be death. They'd die too. So nobody would help him. He got up in the morning, dragging a decomposing body on his back. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody said, you know, if you'll repent, we'll unlock that thing, get that death off of you. You know what's going to happen? If he don't go crazy first, stark raving mad, that decomposing body and the bacteria from it is going to begin to infect him, and he's going to do it soon. What happens after earthquakes is what happens after these great calamities. It's not just the damage that the earthquake or the tidal wave did. It's the decomposing bodies that they can't dispose of quick enough, and all the diseases that now begin to attack these people. Thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Christ said, I've come to unlock those chains and get that death off of you. Because when you come to Jesus, what happens? You pass from death to life. Can you say amen? And life more abundant. Praise God. Hallelujah. And life more abundant. Because what starts here with freedom carries into eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're not ignorant of His devices. So Paul said, whoever you forgive, we're going to go ahead and get on that same page with you. We forgive. Lest Satan should do what? Gain an advantage. Was it the fact that they talked in tongues, that they had power and authority to you? No, it's because they were applying spiritual law through the Word of God to their life. And it was defeating the enemy. Hallelujah. So the wiles of the devil is his strategy of deceit. If he can get me over in unforgiveness, he can... Husbands and wives, wedges between us. Satan works overtime to wedge two people that God has made one. Divide and conquer. He said that we are to solve our problems, resolve our differences, pray together, stand together, lest Satan, here we are again, should gain what? An advantage over us, lest he take the high ground in our life. Can you say amen? I am so tired of seeing God's people robbed and defrauded of blessings that are legitimately theirs, paid for by the blood of Christ. I want to see victory. Is it okay with you that your pastor wants to see victory? Hallelujah, in your life. God wants to see it too. You know why? Because number one, He loves us. And it hurts Him to see us hurting. But number two, we bear His great name. Can you say amen? So I don't want victory just so I don't have this pressure, this pain. I want victory because I bear the name of a great King and a mighty God and Savior. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! 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 And I want everybody in the world to know that serving God is the greatest life in all of the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So we never did read Numbers. But if we read it now, we're going to be in big trouble because we just don't have all of that time. But we need to get into how many want to learn more of His devices, more about spiritual law, and more about how to continue in God's Word so the truth can make us everyone free from whatever it is that is in our life that is holding us back and binding us. Praise God. I want to teach spiritual law till we become law students. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want a church full of graduate students in spiritual law. So you say, uh-oh, I'm not going to do that. That's going to apply the law negatively to me. Oh, but I'm going to do that because that's going to apply the law positively to me. Oh, but I ain't going there. No, devil, you tried it. I'm not ignorant. You're a bald-faced liar, and I'm not buying it because I am continuing in God's Word. God's Word's living and alive in me. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light. See, I can choose now because I can see the right way. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if we walk in the light, in the truth, as He is in the truth, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. What He has provided, all that He has provided at the cross through His shed blood is now beginning to be applied to our life. And what a victory He has supplied. Can you say amen? I heard an old story about a Savior came from glory, gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I love you today. I want to see victory. I want to see victory. When Robin Williams committed suicide, people couldn't believe it. Some people called him weak. Some people criticized him. There's a place that David was in called the horrible pit. And he said this of God: God has brought me up out of the horrible pit. Clinical depression is a deep, dark, seemingly inescapable hole. And the devil would like to put everybody in it he can. Everybody he can push down into that hole, he'd like to push. David, the giant killer, when the Spirit came on him, needed God to reach way down and pull him out. He didn't do that through the anointing. He did it through God's faithfulness and his faith in God's faithfulness. Can you say amen? And he said he delivered, and he told just how he delivered him from that horrible pit. Because you know he was depressed. Because it wasn't just a military defeat he was looking at. His own son was leading the revolution. This was a family affair. His own countrymen turned against him and joined the army of his son to kill his daddy and take the kingdom. Out there in the wilderness, apart from the temple, away from his throne, uncertain about what tomorrow was going to hold, David was slipping into a horrible pit. I got to say this because, listen to me carefully. I'll take the time because it's so important. I worked with a man when I was bivocational production plant. He was known, and I knew him personally. He was a man of color. He stood about 6'4". When I stood next to him, I feel short next to just about everybody in here except you. I'm so glad you came back. Stand up just a minute. And she got heels on. That's even with heels on. You want me to reach up there and get this for you? He was 6'3", 6'4". He had to be at least 300 pounds. He didn't need shoulder pads. He had the big, broad shoulders. I told him, I said, man, you need the Buccaneers need you, and they need you bad. You don't need to be here working with me. He won Employee of the Month. And they had to put a statement under it, not just how he worked, Sean, but it said he is a responsible worker. He does his job without complaining. Underneath the Employee of the Month announcement, and they give you this little paper to take home that you can, well, anyway, you can do what you want to do with it. And he, down at the bottom, this is the important part. Down at the bottom, it said, and he is known, and he was. I can attest to that. He is known everywhere he goes for his infectious joy. He, every time he come to work, hey, Rev, how you doing? Give me a big old hug. And I mean, it just, you know, that's a good feeling to find somebody on Monday morning that ain't hungover or wore out. Somebody smiling, somebody upbeat. He was known, there it is on the wall, for his infectious joy. I mean, somebody that seems like they got joy because they seem happy and laughing all the time. It's an ice cream plant. He kept Nutty Buddies. He drove a forklift in the back putting ice cream up, so he kept, in his uniform, he had it, all his pockets were full of Nutty Buddies. He loved Nutty Buddies. You go back there, he's sitting on that forklift gnawing on a Nutty Buddy, saying, this is the best job I ever had. It ain't about the money no more. It's all the Nutty Buddies you can eat. And we laughed with him, joked with him. He had infectious joy. Sean, his wife, left him. Took the kids. Moved to Atlanta. He came in. We didn't know this at the time, because the front was there. It's easy for him to project that image when inside, in the real world that he was living in, it was falling apart. He loved his wife. He loved his children. They're in Atlanta. 30 days later, he didn't show up for work. And people said, did he call in? He didn't call in. He never missed a day, Brother Taylor, that I knew of. Because he had Nutty Buddies and pay. Amen. He's a happy man. But when all of this broke and it overwhelmed him, and he didn't have God, obviously, not in the position of trusting God, he fell into that horrible pit that David was sinking down into. That place where you see no way out. Three days into the work week, no phone call, no show. Plant manager said, "Where does he live?" Somebody said, "He lives over there. He stay over here," and gave the apartment number. They went to the apartment, knocked on the door, no answer. They called the landlord and the sheriff's department. Landlord opens the door with the sheriff, and they go in. In the back bedroom, he wasn't known to be a heavy drinker. But in the back bedroom, it's a case of beer, most of it drank. And this big, joyful guy with arms that just, you just think, man, if I had his body. Oh, what a guy. He'd taken a revolver, put it to his chest, pulled the trigger, and left this planet. The devil is a deceiver. He gets you in that hole, he'll tell you God can't reach you. Nobody loves you. There's no way out. He's a liar. This is to the serious part of this. He's a liar. Depression is real. We in America make up 5%. 5% of the world's population. We in America use 75% of pharmaceutical. Now, I'm not talking about street drugs. I'm talking about pharmaceutical. 5% of the population uses 75%. And I'm not talking about blood pressure. I'm not talking about high cholesterol. I'm talking about mood-altering drugs, because we are a nation under stress, because the promise the devil's made, if we can just prosper enough, have this house, that woman, that man, that car, that watch, that fortune, that fame, that we will be fulfilled and happy, and we are an unhappy nation. Michael Jackson had such adulation, it's more than many people would think of giving God. Can you say amen? But he didn't have no peace within. He couldn't buy with his millions one good night's sleep. What they put you under with to take out a bodily organ from you or to do open heart surgery, he had to have every night to make himself. He had to be put unconscious in order to sleep. And it caught him. Where's the peace of God? Where's the joy of the Lord? Where is it? We drifted, John, so far from God. We can't resolve anything by getting right with Him. One of the things that tears my heart out is to watch the devil damage God's covenant children. And the other thing that tears my heart out is watch preachers tell them they can have his blessing without keeping his spiritual laws. I'm not talking about the law of Moses. I'm talking about sowing and reaping. Can you say, man, we should keep the law of Moses? It's correct. Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy it. I come to fulfill it." Can you say, man? This is beyond thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. This is thou shalt forgive thy brother. Thou shalt forgive this person. Thou shalt love thine enemies. Thou shalt pray for them. Thou shalt do good to them that despitefully use you, not seek vengeance, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to defeat the devil, Sister Dale, because every time I see anyone bound or in that pit, except for the grace of God, there go I. I can get in that pit. I've been close to the edge of it. We took a trip to the mountains. I've got to extend this. We took a trip to the mountains. We got up in the mountains. I was so glad to have this. I love the mountains. I'm from the mountains. When I get around mountains, I feel a sense of home. My roots go back to the mountains in Kentucky. We got up in the mountains. I had an anxiety attack while up in those mountains. We had to turn right around and come home. All the way home, we had to watch for those where it said hospital along the interstate. I would mark it in my mind in the event, because I felt like sometimes I was passing out, sometimes the pins and needles would come. And then when I got home and realized, and the second time it happened at the beach, we were in a beautiful St. Augustine place right on the beach. And I didn't walk out of that because of the pressure and because of the anxiety and the depression that it brings along with it. I didn't get out of that apartment and walk down that beach one time. Not one time. Not one time did I enjoy the blessing of the vacation because of the pressure. And it seemed like it couldn't break. And I got depressed over that. I said, oh God, I'm preaching this to others, but it's not working in me. Oh God, I cried out to the Lord, Sean, because I felt like a hypocrite to come and preach faith and live like that. But you know something? God didn't just deliver me. He took me on a journey. He showed me some things in the Word. He taught me some things about spiritual law. I got down before God and I got, I let the Lord do some preaching to me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I wanted His truth to apply to me. I didn't go to the Bible just to look for something to bring to you. I went to the Bible to look to something to apply to me. And I want you to know something this morning. What I'm giving you is what I found and applied to me. Hallelujah. It set me free, and it'll set you free if you decide to walk in the light that God's Word shows you. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is, He's better than good. I got to go beyond good today. Praise God. Wherever you are, we just made a radio broadcast. The bullet, they call it, that they put in between other broadcasts. And I just got to tell you this in closing, because it's for somebody right here, right now. First one we made was looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I found a beautiful, true story. A man who was a wool merchant went to visit some of the shepherds that were supplying the wool. And he stayed all night with the shepherd keeping sheep in the field. Coyotes are notorious pack hunters. And they'll kill sheep just as sure as a lion or a bear will, and take them from the fold. Suddenly, as they were sitting by the campfire, the sheep have all laid down around them. Shepherd's right there in the midst of them. He said he could hear the coyotes yelling because they had the smell of the sheep. Their blood was coming up. The coyotes wanted to take a sheep and tear it apart and eat it. And the sheep heard the coyotes, and everyone, without exception, stood up because they knew there's danger, there's danger, there's danger. The shepherd grabbed more wood, threw it on the fire, sat back down. Shepherd sat back down, the fire flamed up, and it wasn't to scare away the coyotes. It was to calm the sheep. The fire flamed up high and illuminated the shepherd against all of that darkness and all of that danger. And the man that was visiting him said, I looked out, and it looked like thousands of little fires. Hundreds of little fires out there in the darkness. And he said, what I realized was, it was the reflection of this fire in the eyes of all the sheep. Because all the sheep were not looking at the danger out in the darkness, but they were looking at the shepherd. And they laid back down. Because as long as he's here, we're safe. Because they've seen him deal with coyotes before. And send them with their tail tucked between their legs, packing her dead on the ground. Hallelujah. And they said, as long as we can see him. And that businessman who was a Christian said, the scripture came to me looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. This is a dark, scary world. But Jesus is a wonderful, powerful shepherd king. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you want to serve him, you'll get in his truth. Wherever you are, no matter how dark it is, I'm going to tell you, like I said it on the radio, in 4 minutes, believe it or not, we did this in 4 minutes, but it was only that illustration. Wherever you are, however dark it is, look away from that darkness to the King of Light. Hallelujah. He's reaching to you. His eyes are upon you today. He loves you today. Has anybody got anything out of this? Anybody got something that you're going to take away with you? When you come to hear, come to learn. Did you learn anything about the devil's device? This is just one of them. He got a lot more, and we want to expose every one that he's got. And get him off the high ground. Glory to God. Get him under our feet where he's supposed to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want us to just worship with this song. God is wanting to reach down and caress somebody just like he did Sean and still wants to do with Sean. God's wanting to reach down to somebody today and take you in his arms and hold you close to him. Will you stand with me today? Hallelujah. 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 His kingdom is righteousness. Once that is achieved, there's peace. Not as the world giveth, God gives us. And then there's joy in the Holy Ghost. And that is victory in this fallen world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. How many in this room say, Pastor, I want to be in the know. I don't want to be in the dark. I want to apply God's word to my life so that he has supplied so that he can apply his promises and his victories to me. Hallelujah. Let's just give him praise today. I'm expecting great things from the Lord. I'm expecting great things for you. Praise God.